Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. O you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called a private meeting of the wise men, and he learned from them the time that the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for this child. When you find him, come back and tell me so that I may go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it's time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Christmas comes this year at a unique time in our history. It's a time of great uncertainty for almost everyone. A time when people look to the future and don't know what the future holds. Now, most of you know that just less than a month from today, we have a new president who will take office, and certainly the direction that President Obama will take the country is something that's up for grabs. But that's not really the cause for the uncertainty in our country today. The uncertainty is caused by the economy. People who read the headlines, people who hear what's going on in their own businesses, people who hear of layoffs and fear what will happen to their jobs. And all of that creates a great sense of uncertainty. Will the recession last through 2009? Will it end in 2010? How many jobs will be lost in the meantime? What's going to happen to people's retirement and their savings? These are all things that put most of us at least a little bit on edge. At the same time, there is something about this economic crisis that is almost entertaining. I mean, it's like a soap opera. Every week or two, it seems there's a new twist in the soap opera, and it's always something more dire than what happened before. If you follow the news, you know how it worked. The whole crisis started with homeowners who couldn't pay their mortgages. And as they had difficulty paying their mortgages, houses were repossessed, and banks had to pay off these loans. And so the twist came when the banks realized that they were overextended, and banks started to go bad. And then because the banks were having trouble, they refused to lend as much as they did, and big businesses were having a hard time getting credit. And so the big three automobile makers, Ford and Chrysler and GM, found themselves on the edge of bankruptcy. And now we head into a new year wondering what the next aspect of the crisis will be. What will be the next twist in this soap opera? And what will happen when a new president takes place? What direction will things go? It leaves us all a little bit uncertain, somewhat on edge. When you find yourself reading the headlines, watching the news, hearing stories about global financial problems, problems that don't just affect us here in the United States, but have reached around the world, How does it make you feel? It can be overwhelming at times to face uncertainty, especially uncertainty of that caliber. It can make you feel rather helpless. I mean, what can you and I do to change the scope of the economic situation? Worse than that, it can make you feel hopeless because you think, what can possibly be done to change the bleak forecast that looks ahead? Well, I tell you that if you've felt some of that edginess and uneasiness, then you can probably appreciate the Christmas story in a new light. Because the story that we know so well and that we read every year and that we reflect upon and just know is really a story of uncertainty. A story of two people who tried to follow God in a time when things were very unclear to them. If you think about the story from that standpoint, you realize that there's a lot to this story that parallels where we are today. Joseph and Mary, I think as young people, Joseph was probably 19 or 20, Mary maybe 15 years old. And I suspect as young people, they naively thought they had the future all planned out. Joseph had grown up in Bethlehem, or at least that was his ancestral home. But he'd moved at some point to Nazareth. And there he fell in love with this young girl, Mary. And I can't help but think that Joseph, as he thought about his future with Mary, had it all figured out. Boy meets girl, they fall in love, they get married, and they live happily ever after. But you know that the story didn't quite work that simply. As Joseph is thinking about the love of his life, Mary comes to him, and she has some complicating news. What had happened to Mary was that an angel had spoken to her. And this angel had complicated the whole situation because he said that God had a plan and he asked Mary to be part of it. He said, Mary, you're going to be pregnant and you're going to give birth to the Messiah. Now, Mary, I think, had to be overjoyed at the thought of being part of this plan, except she wasn't exactly sure how Joseph fit in. Somehow she must have asked or wondered, so is Joseph going to be the father? And in so many words, the angel said, not exactly. You see, you will give birth through conception with the Holy Spirit. God himself will somehow enable you to have this child. And you'll give birth to the Messiah. I know that Mary couldn't have understood the virgin birth. She couldn't have understood an immaculate conception. But she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And Mary committed herself in obedience to do what God wanted. But that very act of obedience on Mary's part certainly complicated life from Joseph's part. At some point along the way, Mary began to realize that she couldn't keep this baby a secret. She was starting to show and she was going to have to tell people. How do you think Mary explained this conception to her parents? How do you think she explained it to Joseph? Joseph, I have some difficult news to tell you. Joseph's understanding and in a good mood. He says, Mary, whatever you have to say will be accepted by me without question. Well, Joseph, you need to hear what I have to say before you determine that. You see, an angel came to me a while ago, and Joseph, an angel? I can understand why this is disturbing news, Mary, but it's okay. I don't know what happened, but it doesn't bother me that you've had this this experience. No, no, Joseph, that's not what I wanted to tell you. You see, this angel spoke to me. And he told me that I would give birth to a son, and my son would be the Messiah. And Joseph says, your son? Don't you mean our son, Mary? Well, that's where it gets complicated, Joseph. You see, I'm pregnant. You can just imagine how Joseph must have felt. The tears begin to well up in his eyes, and in a mix of anger and grief, he says, Mary, how could you? I don't know which is worse, betraying me or blaming it all on God. And somehow, Mary's obedience didn't quite go as smoothly as she might have thought. It was so complicated. But then an angel appeared to Joseph as well. And this angel came to Joseph not while he was awake. It happened in a dream. And he said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God has planted this seed in her, and this is something that you don't have to worry about. Just marry her. Have you ever awoken from a very vivid dream? Have you ever had a dream about an angel? It's one thing to have a dream. It's another thing to alter your life by that dream. It's an amazing thing, but Joseph decided to believe this angelic messenger that came to him in a dream. I mean, when he woke up, he must have had a period of time where he thought, did I really dream that, or was it really an angel who spoke to me? Am I just projecting because Mary told me an angel had spoken to her? It had to be at least a little bit cloudy to Joseph. And he didn't know whether to believe his doubts or doubt his beliefs, but somehow he said, I'm going to marry her. And so Joseph took Mary as his wife. And probably at that point in time, Joseph thought, now that I've been obedient to God, it's all going to work out fine. But you know the story. It didn't work out so easily. As Mary approached her due date, this word came from Caesar Augustus. An economic crisis, you might say, because he was ordering a tax, and for people to be taxed, they had to go back to their hometown. That meant that Joseph and Mary had to go back to Bethlehem. And I can't help but think that, again, Joseph must have thought, we'll get there and God will take care of things. But when they showed up in Bethlehem, there was no room. Nobody had space for them, and so the only place they could find to stay, the only place they could find as a place to deliver this baby, was a filthy cattle stall. Now, most of us know the story to that point because that's what is read and repeated, but Matthew goes on to tell us that after the wise men had left, Herod was jealous of this king that was to be born. And so he set out to kill all the babies in Bethlehem, planning to stomp out this Jesus who was born. But again, Joseph had a dream, and the dream said, flee to Egypt. Now, some years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Egypt. And Egypt today is an amazing country, but it is not a comfortable place to visit. And it'd be a horrible place, at least in my estimation, to flee as a refugee with a young baby. And yet that's exactly where God told them to go. Mary and Joseph, following God's plan in obedience, caught up in the chaos of a census, the chaos of a mad king. And they end up in Egypt. And they had to think, what went wrong? But Matthew tells us in his account that nothing went wrong. This was all according to God's plan, because the prophet Hosea had said that it was out of Egypt that I called my son. God's plan included the trip to Egypt. Mary and Joseph, in the midst of all of the things that they couldn't control, had been obedient to God. And you and I look back on that story and we see the whole story, and we see that through that, Jesus was saved from the atrocities of Herod, allowed to go back to Nazareth eventually and to grow up there and to become the Messiah. We know the whole story. We know that it wasn't a tragedy, but it had to seem to Mary and Joseph, that things were totally out of control, perhaps hopeless, maybe a little helpless. Sometimes I think we feel, in the midst of what we face, like flotsam and jetsam, the debris floating on the ocean that just gets carried around by the ocean, and we don't know whether we're going to end up in some good place or dashed upon the rocks. And yet when we look at this story, we realize that there is hope. We realize that God, for Mary and Joseph, had a plan. And for those of us who have a relationship with God, there's a promise in the book of Romans that says that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. We can know that God has a plan for us. There is hope even when life seems rather hopeless. And if you find yourself overwhelmed by all that's going on in the world, there's also something that you can do. Just as Mary and Joseph weren't totally helpless. Well, there was nothing that they could do to change Caesar's edict. They couldn't mount some sort of protest that would stop the census from being taken. And they couldn't raise up in some armed revolt against Herod to stop his slaughter of the innocents. There was nothing on a grand scale that they could do, but there were things that Mary and Joseph were able to do. They weren't totally helpless. God had called them to be obedient. Mary was obedient to faithfully bear God's son. And Joseph was obedient to take her as his wife. And in much the same way, you and I can't change the course of economic history, and we can't change what's going to happen on a grand scale, but we can be faithful and obedient to what God calls us to do. And just as Mary and Joseph trusted God for what He called them to do, they were able to just leave the rest with Him. And so can we. And this Christmas season, reflecting upon this story is a great opportunity for us to realize that we too can just be faithful and obedient to what God calls us to do and just leave the rest for Him to work out His plan. Maybe you're here tonight and you know that God has been pursuing you and wants to have a personal relationship with you. You know, He simply says that all you have to do is realize that this baby who came at Christmas grew up. He lived, He taught, He did miracles, but the greatest thing He did was He gave Himself as a sacrifice. He died on a cross. And He rose again. And God says, as many as believe in Him, To them he gave the right to become children of God just by believing in who he is and what he did. So maybe that's what God is calling you to do, just to start a relationship with him this Christmas. Or maybe you've wandered from God for a while, and maybe you're here and you're trying to start something new with God. Maybe God is just saying, I want you to get serious about your relationship with me again. If that's the case, that's the thing that you can do. Or maybe it's something entirely different. As you read through the Bible, as you hear God's Spirit speak to you, you know there are things that God wants of you. Maybe he wants you to worry a little bit less. Maybe he wants you to be more committed in some area, to be a better husband, a better wife. I don't know. I suspect that you do. But like Mary and Joseph, in the midst of all the uncertainties and all that we cannot control, God simply wants you to believe him, to trust him, to obey him. And as we look at that story, we realize that if we trust him for the little that we can do, we can certainly trust him to work out the rest. As we celebrate Christmas, it is our tradition to have a time where we share the flame of Christmas. And so if you have your candles, I invite you to get them out, and I'll invite the worship team back up here. I'll invite you to stand. We'll pass the flame along as we sing Silent Night.
Quick at the sight, go.
Thank you for sending us your Son. We thank you that born to us is a Savior. Good news in difficult times. Good news even in the best of times. We thank you for your gift to us. We praise you in our Savior's name. Amen. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let's sing that song as we close. Have a great holiday with your families and drive safely as you go home.